All right, we're live.
Welcome back to Talk with Army. I'm your co-host, Delilah.
And I'm your co-host, Daisy.
And we are finishing up this installment of Army Anonymous. Told you we would make it. Sorry if I sound a little bit tired. I just got home. Haven't been home in 12 hours because I was at work late. So if I sound tired, that's why. And if Alice is super clingy, that's also why.
Yeah, it's been a long day, so we're just gonna, you know, finish up. And yeah, looking forward to all the submissions that we have. So we're still in the internal fandom issues section, so we're just gonna pick up from there. This first submission says, I think a concern is how at times baby armies aren't welcomed, especially during the concert with things like them not knowing the fan chants. And there's this type of association with newer armies being fans from their English songs that's pretty negative. And this is from the USA. See, the thing is with this is that they've said a lot of different things here, and a lot of them are quite interesting. So with the whole fan chant thing, if for anyone who wasn't on Twitter during that time, but in November, when, you know, BTS had their concerts at SoFi Stadium, on day one, which is the day that I was attending, there were a lot of people who were saying that, you know, people weren't doing the fan chants in, you know, certain songs or whatever. And, you know, people were posting, like, video proof. And, you know, there was a whole lot of debate online because, you know, first of all, I was physically there. I heard fan chants, and obviously it wasn't as loud because, you know, the fact that we were all wearing masks, so it was a bit muffled, that made it harder to hear. And the fact that, you know, when you record stuff on your phone, sometimes your phone will deliberately try and, like, reduce the volume of background noise when you're filming. So that's also another reason why, you know, a lot of people didn't hear the fan chants as well as you normally would, like, physically. But, you know, there is a part of the fandom that is new who was at that concert and may not know the fan chants as well. And I don't necessarily think that it's fair that people are coming at, you know, others for not knowing the fan chants, because obviously people who are in that concert venue have come for BTS. It's because they like BTS and they wanted to see them perform. So I don't know why people are trying to paint this image of, you know, certain armies as not being supportive of BTS, because it's like, if I wasn't supportive of BTS, I wouldn't have bought a ticket to this concert. I wouldn't be here. So, you know, for people who maybe didn't know the fan chants that night and truly just weren't able to sing along, I don't feel like that's something that we need to make fun of or something that needs to, like, that someone needs to be dragged over. I think that's, like, pretty disrespectful and just unfair, and it makes, you know, newer armies feel like they're not as big of a fan as they think they are, which, you know, isn't true.
Also, BTS haven't been touring. They haven't been doing music shows, for crying out loud. And that's usually where we even learn the fan chants, because they go on music shows to promote songs, and then Big Hit releases the fan chant to go with it, so then that way everyone can learn it during the promo periods. However,
yeah,
because of COVID, we haven't had them doing live shows. We haven't had them promoting with live audiences. So, of course, people might not even know too much about fan chants if you became a fan of BTS last year, because you wouldn't have heard them or seen people talk about them. And I think people sometimes don't realize how exponentially or how much the growth has grown exponentially. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. In between each comeback, like, there's of course going to be people that don't even know the culture of fan chants, or people who haven't been to a live concert or just a live show in a really long time and aren't, you know, maybe they just don't feel comfortable because it's something new. I really feel like this is one of those times where people should just have more empathy. And my other point I think that Daisy touched upon is, why are people on Twitter running their mouths about how, oh, BTS is disappointed and you aren't showing your support for BTS, you're not being loud enough, when you weren't even there? You don't know how the fan chants sounded. They could have sounded different from a variety of sections. That's on so many different videos, and like each video the fan chants sounded different because it just depends on where you're at. And so for people who weren't even at the concert to be having all of these opinions about whether or not ARMYs were supporting BTS enough, like, come on.
Yeah, I really hated that. The way that, like, people who weren't even there were just, like, judging based off of, like, videos that could never give you the full context. And, you know, it just really made me upset, because it's like, they're literally having concerts and performing and they're seeing ARMYs for the first time in so long. And this is the type of discourse that you're stuck on. Why don't we focus on the fact that BTS are literally performing, and we can focus on the happiness that they're feeling, and we can be, you know, sending them all sorts of supportive messages through Twitter or Weverse. But then the first thing that people decide to latch onto is, oh my gosh, you guys are so, like, unsupportive. I can't believe that these are the ARMYs who got tickets. Like, what's with the negativity? Like, I just hated that. And then, you know, to touch on the second part of this person's submission, where they're talking about how there's the association with new ARMYs being fans from, like, just their English songs. What they're trying to say is, like, it's not necessarily a negative that, you know, people are fan of their English songs, but to assume that, like, there are only ARMYs who know them at, like, surface level to the point where, like, those are the only songs they know. I do think that's an unfair assumption, because there are plenty of ARMYs who still get into BTS through, you know, other songs, and even if they did get in through their English singles, they're still trying to explore BTS's discography. So I don't know why that's necessarily a bad thing, and I feel like people are just making it out to be, like, way more.
People aren't going to go through that bloodbath of a ticket line
right,
because they heard Butter on the radio. Like, come on now.
Right, like, it's gonna take more than one song for most people to convince them that, yes, I want to sit through a 2-hour set list from these artists. Like, no one's just going to go to a concert and they only know one song from an artist. Yes, there are people who have definitely gone to BTS through Dynamite or Butter or PTD, but those are people who have probably already, like, started or have, like, explored a lot of BTS's discography. So the way that, like, people think that, like, most ARMYs who are there are new ARMYs who only know, like, their three English singles, that's such, like, a weird thing, you know, to assume. And I feel like some people just, like, just, they need to chill.
It just sounds bitter. Like, you're bitter that newer fans were able to get tickets and you weren't. And, like, deep down, it's like, yeah, that is something you can be bitter about, but not, like, bitter enough in a way to be outwardly rude and make false assumptions on the timeline, especially when those false assumptions get spread around and, like, treated as fact. Because
exactly.
There are so many people that genuinely believe that ARMYs didn't know any fan chants and weren't being supportive.
Right. It's the same way that, like, that one video of that BTS concert in Japan gets spread around to make it seem like Japanese ARMYs don't care about the rap line at all and aren't supportive of them, without taking into account, like, the, you know, concert culture in Japan and how they just, like, they show their support differently from, you know, other people. You know, their idea, you know, in a lot of cases of, you know, enjoying a concert is by sitting there and just listening. They may not be screaming, and they may not be, like, moving around too much. They're just going to be, like, in their seats, and they're going to be enjoying the concert. But then some people can look at that and assume that they're not being supportive of the boys because they're not, you know, jumping around and, like, screaming their heart out like some people may do in, for example, America or Brazil. And I feel like not taking into account, like, those cultural differences into how people are at concerts, I feel like that's just, it's, there's just, like, a lot of ignorance going on there. And I feel like people just need to be a lot more aware and to not just make assumptions off of, like, an entire concert based off of, like, 10-second clips that could literally, like, like the perspective, depending on like what perspective like you have in the concert, for example, being in section 200 compared to like section 500, like you're going to be noticing and hearing like completely different things. So to just like make a generalization based off of that one person's perspective, like I think is so stupid.
Yeah, so I think that sums up that submission. So the next one says, any criticism or even lukewarm feelings toward BTS is often met with disdain. If you're coming within the fandom, you're labeled as an anti. If from the general public or the industry, the idea is dismissed as racism, discrimination, exploitive, etc., even if there are points that are actually valid. I get the Army Access way because unfortunately it has happened many times before, so we are very protective, but we are very intense as a fandom and can often overwhelm and seem unwelcome in our defensiveness. We forget that others aren't as invested as we are or aren't as in love with them, don't know their history like we do. Sometimes others just really don't like stuff BTS does, and it's not coming from anywhere malicious, just a matter of preference. We also have our own blind spots within the fandom, and an opposing opinion can actually be something we can learn from the Philippines.
I think this is true. There are definitely instances where, like, I think that, like, ARMY's, you know, being defensive of BTS is 100%, like, justified. Because at the end of the day, there are always going to be people who are going to be malicious towards BTS for no reason. And for ARMYs to, you know, not be treating them with respect, because obviously we're not being respected, I think that's fair. But there are some times where, you know, some people may be a little bit too defensive and it can come off as, like, weird or just overtly negative. And I feel like there are, you know, some times where I'm like, guys, like, calm down, you know?
Yeah, like that one time I was getting freaking jumped once again, all because I said that Mama was super mad that BTS had a quarantine and couldn't come to their stupid little award show, and so they took it out on TXT, and people were in my mentions like, BTS has nothing to do with this, they're on vacation, leave them alone. Critical thinking skills, people. Like, I just can't. Like, all of my tweets, they blow up, and then someone twists it, and it just becomes a mess. We lose the plot so easily on ARMY Twitter, all because people just can't look. They automatically have to get super defensive and just, like, jump the gun all the time. And we are defensive for good reason. It is not come from a bad place at all. But also, sometimes we need to approach things with a little bit more neutrality, because if not, then we end up losing the narrative.
God, this just reminds me of the conversation I was having with, like, those Twitter accounts yesterday about my thread. Oh my gosh. So basically, for anyone who was not looking at my thread yesterday, and by yesterday I mean January 18th, what had happened was, there was discourse going on about, like, you know, BTS and, you know, them releasing hip-hop music and the frequency of how often they release it. And, you know, I was basically making a thread in response to people who act like BTS hasn't released hip-hop music in, like, 5 years. And I was saying that, like, you know, some of you guys act like BTS hasn't released hip-hop music in so long, but hip-hop and rap has always been incorporated in every single album they've done thus far. And my thread was basically saying that, yes, I would like them to do hip-hop in the next album, and that's fine if anyone wants that as well. But then to act like they haven't been providing us with that, I feel is just kind of really ignorant and overlooking a lot of songs in their discography. And then so many people, like, came into my mentions. They wanted to be Cinderella so bad, trying to make the shoe fit. And they were like, so you think that they should never have a hip-hop title track? Or so you think that they could never have, like, you're basically saying that you never want them to promote, like, a Korean hip-hop track? And I'm like, that is a whole new sentence. That's not what I said. I don't even know where people were. They kept on assuming that I was talking about people who said that they wanted a hip-hop title track. And I'm like, that wasn't part of my original thread. The words title track were not even in my original thread in anywhere. And there's this one particular account, and they were talking to me about, like, how you'd say like, oh my gosh, why are you being like so disrespectful? We just want, you know, a hip hop track to be, you know, getting the same push as Butter. And then obviously that person got ratioed, and you know, somebody in their quotes was talking about, oh, it's, you know, unrealistic to expect anything in Korean to get the same exposure and push as Butter because of the xenophobia, of like the basically the
Right.
xenophobic tendencies
They
of the
also,
Western industry.
that one person, they used the stupid example of how high Mike Drop charted as an example of a BTS hip hop song doing well. And that's a terrible example.
It was a
Because,
terrible
one,
example.
half the song is in English. Two, Stevie Aoki is kind of known in the US in the EDM scene, at least by name. There was also Designer. So you had the Korean rap replaced with Designer's rap, plus the English lyrics of the course, and then, you know, the Stevie Aoki name being pushed with the title. So, like, that helped it a lot for it to chart and to be recognized. So, I think it is super ignorant to just assume that, oh, hip hop tracks would do well on the charts, because no, it wouldn't. Because no matter what we do, the radio stations, they're not gonna play it if it's not in English. We've seen this because we saw what happened when Life Goes On dropped, and their label, their US label, was immediately talking about Dynamite as if Life Goes On literally didn't release the day before. So it doesn't matter if hip hop, if they release a hip hop title track, it's going to go number one because armies buy it and push it to number one. It's not going to go to number one because it's suddenly more palpable to the public. No, that's not how it works. And also, I don't think people understand, like, the type of hip hop music that BTS makes is also not the kind of hip hop music that, like, charts on the very top 10 of, like, the Billboard 100. It's usually more a hip hop mixed with pop stuff, and, like, BTS does do that. But the type of hip hop tracks that people really want BTS to do when they talk about hip hop, they mean, like, stereotypical hip hop. Let's get that straightened out, because apparently, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you could think of, like, Fake Love was very hip hop, it was very, like, hip hop centered, and it had, like, a very hip hop type beat, and yet their only example is Mike Drop, which doesn't really make sense. They want BTS to release a song as a title track, like, mainly rapping and mainly, like, bragging about how good they are. Because in their minds, that's what hip hop is. And we see right through them. And we try to shut it down. And then they completely change the words that came out of our mouth. And because they've created a whole new sentence that we didn't even say, like, we can't even defend ourselves because they're just gonna twist every little thing we say.
I still defended myself anyway, because like honestly, like you were saying about how they can only like recognize Mic Drop, never mind that we had Fake Love, never mind that Black Swan was technically a title track of its own.
Yes.
But like I was literally, you know, talking to this person because they were like, oh, they were accusing me of saying that like I didn't want any Korean hip hop title track to be promoted at all. And I'm like, that's not what I said. I'm just saying it's unrealistic to expect it to get the same, you know, push and exposure as Butter. And then, you know, they kept on going back and forth with me saying that like that's not what I meant, even though it's like, dude, I'm the one who told you that. Of
I'm the one
course
who
I know
created
what it
it.
meant.
You made your own assumption and then believed it.
Right, that's literally what they did. They've made their own assumption about my tweets. First of all, that I was talking about title tracks, and I told them that I wasn't, and that it was people in the quotes who were making it about title tracks, and that's why I ended up addressing it eventually. And then they were like, "No, you, that's not you were talking about originally. That wasn't the original conversation." And I'm like, "If you go back to the original thread and read it, you will see the original conversation." And then I told them to go read my thread again, and they're like, "Oh no, I get your thread, but it doesn't make sense because you're basically saying that you don't want any Korean hip hop tracks to." And I was like, I literally told him at that point, I'm like, I'm done explaining it to you. If you can't read it again and understand, then you just need to get off my page. So that's where I cut it off. But it's that type of like defensiveness and that type of like misinterpretation that I do feel is sometimes, prevalent within the fandom. Obviously not the majority. It's always usually just like a handful of like weirdos who like twist it, and then suddenly it becomes like this whole issue. However, I do think that, it can be overwhelming, and for a bunch of people to just suddenly misinterpret what you're saying and like not even ask you for further context so they can decide whether or not like what you actually said was like problematic. I feel like that can be really frustrating for some people, and it can make us like, feel a bit more I guess people, it just kind of sometimes makes people want to distance themselves from our fandom. And I, sometimes do think that it is unfair the way that people stereotype us. But then in some cases, like, I can see how it may be overwhelming to interact with armies because you don't want to get what you're saying misinterpreted, and then, you get jumped. So I definitely do think that there needs to be more talks, within the fandom about how we can have conversations about things without it escalating so quickly, because I don't know, sometimes it gets difficult to have these conversations on Twitter. I mean, like we say all the time, that's why we even started this podcast, it's because of the fact that it's quite difficult to have these conversations on Twitter. It's not necessarily something that's army exclusive, of course, but it is, still a problem with our fandom. Even though it's not army exclusive, armies are still included in this issue.
I think, yeah, I wish armies would take the initiative to understand that the internet has created such an awful place to have dialogue, because the way people have conversations are not like how you would have conversations in real life. Like, if
No.
Daisy were to read her thread out loud, like if that were something she was saying out loud in person, and someone responded with saying, "Oh, so you don't ever want BTS to have a hip hop title track?" Other people around you would think you're insane because how did you come to that conclusion? Like, people don't talk like this in real life, and that's why people sound so just not like how, like, not even, they're having a whole separate conversation to themselves in their minds because no one said anything that they're talking about. Like, it's truly mind-boggling how much the internet has just ruined how we talk to people. And I think that's kind of what's frustrating for people like Daisy and I, because the way we speak on Twitter, whatever we tweet, we know that we would say that exact same thing in real life. But so
Right.
many people like to have like these personas on the internet and like tweet in a way that, they wouldn't say it to someone's face if it were in person. But as a result, people have just like warped the way they talk to people. Like, it's not how you talk to people. In real life, people wouldn't want to be your friend because
True.
you, like, talking to you would just get you nowhere if you constantly just twisted anything and everything that someone said.
Exactly. Like, even when I'm talking about like issues, like solo stand like discourse or like Manti discourse to like people offline, like the conversations just like flow way differently than they would if I was having these conversations on Twitter. Because just talking to somebody face to face, first of all, like, it lessens the chance of like hostility, because there's a lot of things that people say on Twitter that they won't say to somebody's face physically. And second of all, it's just easier to like communicate with that person and understand like their point of view. I feel like obviously because it's Twitter, and Twitter's on the internet, and you're not necessarily obligated to understand the viewpoint of every single person on there. I feel like people kind of use that as, you know, a means to just avoid nuance altogether and just like assume the worst about people's tweets without ever asking them for further context or if they can explain their point because they don't feel obligated to understand them because they don't know that person. So I feel like it's definitely, a really it's like definitely like a much bigger issue than like we've like than like just our fandom, and like there's just needs to be a whole, big conversation about how we can better communicate with people online in a way that doesn't cause unnecessary drama. But, that's just us personally. I mean, I don't know how anyone else feels about this, but honestly, I feel like that's what needs to be happening. So, yeah, that takes care of that submission. So the next submission, which is actually the last one in this section, they say, "I feel like 90% of being army is just interpretation. Nobody knows anything, but everyone interprets, whether it's shippers, solos, OT7, actual interpreters, because you can't really call them translators because they can never truly translate what the member is saying slash feeling. The best they can do is try to give an objective interpretation on the prima facie words of the member. I get frustrated when people try to correct other people when even what they are saying is prefaced by 'I think.' Leave people be. We don't know what the guys actually feel about anything. Even when they say some things, it's so vague that most times we project our own views on them. I'm a baby army and have so much pent-up frustration regarding a lot of stuff in the fandom, but you said to keep it short and I tried more. I hope what I wrote comes across as I meant it." And this is from South Africa. Honestly, I definitely do feel there are a lot of things that are up for interpretation because, there's only so much that like army translators can do in terms of telling us what the boys say. Obviously, like there are some things that you can't possibly misinterpret. Like for example, like I don't know, if Jungkook says, "Oh, this food is delicious," there's no way you could misinterpret that, right? But there are definitely some things
Don't
that they have
challenge
said.
them, Daisy.
I mean, but there are definitely some things where, like, BTS are a lot more, I guess, ambiguous. And, to properly convey what they have in their heads, I feel is a lot more of a challenge. I'm not gonna say that, like, almost everything about being an army is speculation. However, there are a lot of times where I do feel like people tend to fill in the blanks. I don't know about you, though, but that's how I personally feel.
I mean, I can't think of an immediate example in my head, but I do understand what this submission is talking about and what you're talking about. Because there are times when, especially when, let's say BTS are doing like a V Live and maybe they're just like rambling, some things we don't know the full context of. And we most definitely will never be able to understand the nuance of, like, even if I were to become fluent in Korean tomorrow, like, it doesn't matter. There's just something about being born and growing up speaking a language and being immersed in that language. It'll just never compare to, becoming fluent in it later in life. There's just something about that immersive experience that it doesn't matter how many years you study the language, there's just some nuance that you will never be able to capture.
Right, I definitely agree with that. So, when it comes to interpretation, I think in some instances it's okay. Like for example, interpreting their music. I think definitely to a certain extent, it is totally fine to find different interpretations and meanings for what they're saying within their lyrics. However, I do understand when some people like cross lines and just make it, make completely new scenarios out of like almost nothing. I know that that's definitely happened, especially in terms of like things when it comes to BTS's like relationships and dynamics with like other people outside of BTS. That's usually where the most interpretation is, whether it's with like friends or like people who they've worked with or like their staff or like just anybody from the company. There is always just so much interpretation that's going on. And obviously, like I'm the type of person where like unless BTS says that they're unhappy in the situation, I'm not going to make noise. But then there are people who fill in blanks like out of nothing, and that's where like the whole solo mantee shipper thing comes in. Like a lot of what they do is just purely interpretation. So, but then there are, you know, some OT7s who will take something and then make it seem like it's something that it's not. And that's where, you know, some stereotypes of the members' personalities can kick in, where they will take something that the member has said or done and twist it in a way that's like just completely interpretation and then make it seem like that's just how the member is.
Right. And it's kind of crazy how people just make these assumptions about how a member is, and then that just like becomes fact. And it's definitely something problematic, especially because you're kind of boxing in these people with that are clearly multifaceted into like one personality trait, like they're a fictional character when they're not. They're a real person. They have different sides of them, and they choose what to share with us and to take what they share and make assumptions and paint it with a broad brush. I think is doing them a disservice. It does the fandom a disservice, and it's just not a good way to have a fan artist relationship.
Agreed. So that finishes the internal fandom issue section. So now we're going to move on to the solos and shippers section. So this first submission says, "It's unsurprising that most solo stans will defend fan sites to hell and back, but I think a lot of shippers are also complicit in fan site culture, even the ones who just ship for fun and say they're not delusional. It's clear that they care more about getting HD moments of their ship than the members' wishes and safety, and thus will continue to repost fan site pics instead of calling them out." And this is from the USA. That's absolutely
Can
true.
we, what the heck happened with everyone suddenly jumping back onto fan sites like immediately when BTS started doing live shows again? Can we talk about that? Because we went a whole year without fan sites, clearly showing we don't need them, and then all of a sudden people are defending them again, even though we know fan sites are terrible.
Exactly. Like the fact that we had to even like bring up our podcast episode about fan sites again just shows like just how bad it got. And it really surprised me because we have talked about like ways in which, you know, a lot of these fan sites do also double as sessings. You know, we talk about how it's possible for them to get illegal information, whether they buy it from assessing theirself or they are both a fan site and assessing, but these people will go out of their way to find information out about the members illegally and then go to those places and take photos of them, or they'll be breaking rules because, you know, for the Permission to Dance concert, there were a lot of fan sites there that were trying to take pictures, even though it was against the rules to be bringing in those big, massive cameras that they have. And people were somehow defending them still, even after they were getting caught and reported by armies at the concert, which, by the way, you guys are legends for that. Continue calling out fan sites. But like, I just don't understand why people are now defending them, because we clearly see the lengths that they will go to take photos of BTS, you know, regardless of whether they're breaking the rules or not. And on top of that, a lot of them aren't even like real fans. They'll be at the concert and they'll take photos, but you'll never see them singing any of the songs. You'll never see them just enjoying themselves. And, you know, I've talked about this before, but, you know, there's some fan sites where, like, after they're done taking pictures, some of them will just leave early. And it's like this is clearly just a job to a lot of them. So I don't know why we think that any of them deserve to be at the concerts or anything like that, because it's clear that it's more like an army who truly loves BTS is way more deserving of those opportunities and not people who see BTS as just another source of income for them.
And I mean, if let's pretend we lived in a world where fan sites weren't like that, and fan sites, you know, they just showed up to like official events and just took nice HD pictures from a distance, and you know, they weren't ruining the concert experience for other armies and weren't causing genuine problems by breaking rules and breaking safety regulations. But we don't live in that world. So I really hope that we can just leave fan sites behind, as we titled our episode. And so if you haven't listened to it, if you're new to the fandom, maybe you don't know too much about fan sites and fan site culture, you can just go, you can go listen to that episode we did, because I think it's super easy to get caught up in the fan site culture, because if you're new to BTS and just K-pop and Korean culture in general, the idea of a fan site is probably really intriguing at first. It's like, oh, that's cool. You have, like, these fans, and they take, like, really nice pictures, because we don't have that in the U.S. No one's going around taking HD pictures of Taylor Swift at her concerts. No. American artists, they just hire concert photographers and stuff like that. And so the fact that there are accounts on Twitter just dedicated to taking HD pictures is something that's really interesting. And because it is part of a culture most of us are not familiar with, it feels wrong to say, oh, well, this is wrong, and we shouldn't support this, because who are we, right? Who are we as non-Koreans to say what is and isn't okay in their culture? But you know what? Koreans don't like them either. So,
right.
I think this is one of those things where, yes, we can't have a say. BTS don't like them at the concerts, so we don't like them at the concerts.
Exactly. And one more thing I wanted to add about, like, the safety precautions that they take, you know, and why they don't allow fans at concerts. And we may have touched upon this briefly, but, you know, just the fact that, especially in America, do you know how it looks to people who live in America when you see somebody unzip a backpack at a concert and pull something big and massive out of their bag? That looks like a weapon. And for a lot of, you know, people in America, that is the reality, where at any given point there could be a potential shooting. And so obviously, you know, they're not going to allow people with all this big equipment inside of, you know, a venue, because if it's possible to allow those types of, like, equipment into the venue, imagine what else somebody could sneak in, especially if security wasn't as tight. That's just basically, like, asking for somebody to be smuggling in some sort of weapon. So this is to keep everybody safe, because, yeah, sure, that person may be a fan site, but you can't guarantee that for everybody who's pulling something out of their backpack. So you have to understand that these are rules to not just, you know, protect BTS, but protect the concert goers. And anybody who can't see that, honestly, like, you're an op and you clearly don't care about anybody's safety. You just care about all the pretty pictures. And honestly, you know, BTS does have concert photographers, so we're still getting pictures of BTS at the concert. So when people are worshiping these fan sites who don't even like the boys a lot of the times, as if they're like God, it's crazy. Especially solo stans, because they love to come at quote-unquote fake OT7s for, like, not supporting the members, but then you guys will go and worship people who, like, literally threaten the members. Like, why does Headliner still have almost 1 million followers?
I don't understand. Headliner had lost, like, I think, like, 300k at one point, but they're probably back up now.
Right. And, you know, as much as Jungkook solo stans claim that they love Jungkook and want to protect Jungkook, you guys will consume content about Jungkook from the very same person who was calling Jungkook a psychopath.
Yes,
and she was threatening to
Jungkook
physically harm
a
him.
Psychopath said she wanted to hurt him. All these really nasty, disgusting things about him, all because he didn't acknowledge her gift.
Right, and he didn't have to, and clearly that was the right move, because this woman is literally, like, off her top. So, you know, on, like, these are not the type of people we want to support, And if you want to support, you know, somebody who's getting photos of BTS, just support the official photos that come out at this point, or support people who are just taking concert pics and videos from their phone, because obviously that's allowed. But do not be supporting people who take high definition photos, because they clearly did so against the rules. And, you know, we've been through all this before. We don't need to explain it again. So I think that we can just finish up that submission right there and move on to the next one.
Before I move on, let me just say, Alice is so annoying, and here's why. Because I gave this whole speech when we started that, oh, you know, I haven't been home all day, she's gonna be really clingy. But she's just, like, laying on my bed peacefully, I mean, for once, which is nice, because that means I can record this uninterrupted. But also, I thought you missed me, so, like, I'm feeling kind of hurt right now. Like, she's chilling. Usually she's all over the computer and I can't read any of the submissions because she's just blocking it. But look, she's just vibing, completely oblivious to how hurt my feelings are right now.
I feel like she did it on purpose. Your cat is probably sentient.
Oh my god, she must be sentient, because I really gave that whole speech just for her to go and just lay back there. She's not even on the heated blanket.
Wow.
Yeah, but anyway, just had a say that. But the next submission, this one says, why do TikTokers think they're oppressed? I see them complain about how, quote, joking about Namjoon's boyfriend isn't a problem, end quote, but, quote, saying TikTok are dating gets us canceled, end quote. Well, maybe if a large number of you weren't delusional and overanalyzing weirdos, we wouldn't be this on guard. It's also disgusting how some of them will weaponize the actual struggles of LGBT people to defend their fetishizing behavior. From the USA.
This is facts.
Yes, 100% facts.
So, like, when it comes to shippers, but especially TikTokers, because obviously TikTokers and JungKookers are, like, the biggest groups of shippers that we have in the fandom, you know, a lot of what they do, and we've talked about shipping culture on a completely separate episode, but, you know, a lot of it is incredibly invasive. You know, you will look up, like, for example, the words TikTok in analysis in the YouTube search engine, and there are just so many analysis videos of people, like, taking, you know, short clips of Jungkook and Taehyung and completely stretching it out and making it into something that it's not, trying to paint Taehyung a certain way, trying to paint Jungkook a certain way, and just making, like, completely, like, falsified scenarios, like, over, like, I don't know, them glancing at each other during a concert. It's crazy. And, you know, a lot of these people, as we've said in our episode about shipping, a lot of these people are heterosexual, and women who fetishize gay relationships. And, you know, when you hear them talking about, like, Taehyung, some of them will, like, not support the LGBTQ plus community, but they'll support Taehyung and they'll tell you that. And it's just incredibly weird, you know, seeing the types of people who, you know, do ship. Not saying that all shippers are like that, because obviously there are people who just, like, ship for fun and, like, just mind their own business. But in terms of, like, the problematic ones, you know, definitely, like, we know your intentions when you talk about Taehyung is real. There are so many people who do just genuinely joke that, like, Namjoon has a secret boyfriend, but it usually never goes further than, like, those jokes. You don't see people who are making analysis videos like TikTokers or JungKookers or any other shipper, you know, talking about, oh, Namjoon's secret boyfriend, this, this, and this is real, and here's why. And, you know, you don't see those types of videos or, like, those types of tweets that people make about Taehyung compared to, like, this whole joke about Namjoon's secret boyfriend. And for those who actually don't know, I should have probably explained this earlier before I started talking, but for those who don't know what we're talking about, it's basically, like, what had happened was, Namjoon, whenever he goes out with, like, friends or something, there's this one particular person that he seems to, like, go on outings with, like, a lot. And, you know, some people have just, like, dubbed it as, like, Namjoon's secret boyfriend as a joke because, like, the dude's always censored, but, like, Namjoon always seems to, like, enjoy, like, really spending time with him. So, you know, people just, you know, either made innocent speculation or have, like, made, like, you know, jokes about it. But then, you know, the difference between that and, you know, TikTokers, as I've said, is that, There are a lot of take hookers who get just way too intense and invasive about it. There are people who definitely did cross the line with the Namjoon's boyfriend jokes and were just like actively trying to find out who that person was, which I think is like weird. But the percentage of them compared to like the percentage of take hookers who are just doing absolutely unhinged stuff is just completely different.
Exactly. So with that, I think we can move on to the next submission. This one says, how do we as a fandom eradicate solos? It's obvious that block and report method that so many armies enforced only led to them growing in size. Lately, we've been dogpiling them more, so there's that. But can we truly get rid of them? At least make them wary of armies from the USA? And this is, yeah, this is true, because me and Daisy have spoken about this, that at one point we were like, oh, just like block and report, but as a result of that, they kind of just like grew into like their own little bubbles. So the original plan was to just like keep them in their own little corner, but that corner has gotten so big that now it's no longer a corner. It fills the whole room. So
that corner is like a two-story house now.
It is a two-story household, including a basement.
And a backyard, and it comes with a washer and dryer.
Also, on the top floor, there's like a little patio area, there's a little balcony. But, yeah, so, honestly, I don't know. I don't know what to do, because it's really exhausting at this point. At this point, it's just hoping that other armies don't fall for their nonsense, and just like whenever solos like say something like, oh, this is what happened, like just provide evidence immediately and say like, oh no, this is what happened, we have proof of it, so then that way other people that see it like know that that person's being delusional.
Right, at the moment, that's kind of just, like, our plan for now. Just continue ratioing them with, you know, what actually is happening and, you know, facts that disprove what they're saying. And that's really all that we're doing at the moment. It seems to be, you know, working regardless of, you know, how much time it's going to take. But in terms of whether or not I think that we can eradicate solos, at the moment, I don't really think, like, if we're going to eradicate solos, I think it's going to take a lot of time, because now that solos have had this time to build up their communities, they're quite massive, so it's not as easy as just, like, getting one account to become suspended. Like, it's a lot more complicated right. than that. These people have not just collected and, you know, dubbed themselves as solos. These people are starting to become a lot more organized, which makes it difficult for us to figure out, like, their patterns and their movements. And, you know, you never really know when they're just gonna attack an innocent army, so that's why, at the moment, that's, like, the only thing that we really can do is to just prove them wrong by providing receipts. And so that's all I can think of us really doing right now, and we're gonna keep doing it until we find a better idea. So I guess that's kind of just where we're at right now. So yeah.
Yeah, it's not really a solution, but we don't have the solution either. So I think we should just keep going the direction we're going and reevaluate in a few months, basically.
Yep. So the next submission says, one, I'm seeing a lot of people mass reporting BTS's official pages. Two, there's a lot of solo stand accounts getting huge. Three, we have many locals targeting us recently, and this is from India. Yeah, in terms of reporting BTS's official pages, for all who were not present at the time, basically like last month or so, maybe even 2 months ago, I don't remember specifically, but what had happened was there was this like Facebook group from Bangladesh of people who were basically trying to get like BTS's official accounts taken down through like false copyright claims. And how they do that is that they will take like a selfie or like a video that BTS has posted to their site, but then backlog it so it makes it seem like it was posted before BTS posts it. And then they file a copyright claim on BTS's account claiming that BTS stole their content. information, which would then, you know, flag Twitter. And then obviously, because, you know, the way that the Twitter system works, it's not necessarily like humans going through all of these copyright claims. They'll just automatically like take that content down. And then if it so happens that the copyright claim is false, then they'll reinstate that content later. But like, there were a lot of points in time where like BTS selfies and videos were just like getting taken down left and right because of these like false copyright claims. And ARMYs were getting like super frustrated because we're like, to Twitter, we're like, dude, like, do something. And there was like that Twitter space held about like cybersecurity that was like held like a month or so ago. And, you know, there was Twitter
space.
Yeah, the useless space. And we thought that maybe we were going to get a chance to have discussions about what was going on and how we can, you know, be safer, because they weren't just going after like BTS official pages that way, but also like random ARMY accounts. Like, even ARMYs who were doing nothing but like posting fan art, they would get like their content copyright flagged. And it was so sad seeing people having to either go private or just like deactivate for a little bit because they were worried about like losing, you know, their entire account. And so, you know, we hoped that that was going to be the conversation in that Twitter space, but the only thing that those Twitter admins were saying was, oh yes, ARMY, we hear you, we see you, we're working on it, but so far nothing much has really been done, and so that was kind of useless. So that was basically that whole situation, and at the moment we still really don't have like a solidified solution for that, so I guess we're going to have to just assume that they're working on it and that they're doing something. But honestly, I wouldn't have our hopes up. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing, there's a lot of solo stan accounts getting huge. Yeah, what is new, honestly? There are so many solo accounts that pop up every day. And so the only thing that we can do is what we were talking about in the last submission, which is, you know, continue ratioing them with receipts and facts and hope that that gets us somewhere, at least until we find a better idea on how to tackle them. And the third one, we have many locals targeting us recently. Again, what is new? We're always targeted. but I think, you know, when it comes to locals, they're the type of people that I try to just like block and ignore, because when it comes to locals, I'm not necessarily trying to convince them of like other opinions, because I don't want to have to plead my case to a bunch of like randos who don't even know about BTS at all. And like, it gets tiring. Like, your mental health really just does deteriorate the more you argue with locals. So unless it's like something super serious, like, I try not to look at what locals are saying. And I hope that, you know, at least for now, that ARMYs can find some peace, you know, because we're just trying to mind our own business. We're just waiting for BTS to drop some music. That's all that we're doing, and we just get targeted all the time. It's sad.
Yep, it's really exhausting. But honestly, what can we do? At this point, people are going to have the attitudes they are just because they're bitter and spiteful people, and there's really nothing we can do to change that. Like, that is their issue. That is something about them personally they need to work on. So I don't think it's always worth like exerting our energy toward those people, when instead we could just focus on BTS, because that is so much more encouraging and positive and less exhausting.
Agreed. So that is that submission. So the next submission says, okay, so there's been a lot of solo stan activity on Twitter these past few days due to UMG rearranging BTS's music platforms, BTS's music on platforms, etc. Solos being solos, didn't miss the chance to start the copy and paste tweets at Hybe. What really pisses me off, though, is how big accounts, some 600k, as in 600k followers, will also join by copy-pasting and tweeting, for example, put still with you on TikTok, without thinking that they're actively enabling solo behavior. This resulted in SWY trending and, SWY still with you, by the way. This resulted in still with you trending and all the tweets being the same tweet calling out Hybe, not even a link to actually promote the song or any positive contribution to the conversation. Big accounts are enabling solos and antis, and it needs to stop. And this is from Greece. This is true, because there are some times where like there are big accounts and like they'll have like massive followings, like hundreds of thousands of followers, and like without any type of questioning whatsoever, will just like do those copy and paste tweets saying that Hive needs to do this or like they need to treat this member better without ever actually digging into the nuance of the conversation and figuring out what is actually happening. Because it's only after people will be like, hey, you're enabling solos, that they'll delete and apologize for not being vigilant enough. And it's like, well, you need to be vigilant, because even though I will say that like sometimes big accounts do have an unfair amount of burden put on them because of the fact that they have huge followers, we still need to have at least some form of responsibility, because, you know, regardless of whether or not, you know, you want people to agree with everything that you're saying, you know, there is still a part of our followings that can be impressionable that will just agree with everything that we're saying. And I can say until kingdom come, hey, don't take all of my tweets, you know, at face, not at face value, but like, don't like just agree with my tweets for the sake of agreeing with my tweets or because it's me. And people can say that they agree, but there's also going to be that demographic of people who will just not read that. And so, you know, it can be very dangerous and irresponsible to just tweet or retweet anything that you see without really looking into it. And you know, sometimes in some instances it's even something that I need to work on, but like for some people, the way that they do and like how frequently that they do this kind of thing, it's like honestly ridiculous. And like I remember I saw a little bit of that Still With You discourse, but like it was just like completely unnecessary. And I agree with this person how so much of like the solo stan like life and culture is really just like all these negative tweets about Hive needs to treat this member with respect, they need to do this, this, and this, but like barely any of the time is actually spent bringing up said member or giving some type of positive contribution. It's all about the negatives for them.
Right. I just wish that people just like looked into something before just hitting tweet, because whatever I have a red flag that goes up immediately whenever I just see something very specific trending, especially if I hadn't seen like anyone in my group chat or like daily talking about it. I go through the tag first to see what people are talking about, and then I feel after running through the tag a little bit, I can come to the conclusion, oh, this is something that solos are up to, so I'm just gonna ignore this. But no, some big accounts just like to, you know, jump on to things because it's what's trending, and they know that it'll get, people will notice it, and it's just, it's not worth the clout. It's not.
It absolutely isn't worth the clout. I agree. And at this point in time, like, especially, like, when I go through, like, those tags, like, and I see all those copy and paste tweets, it just makes me, like, it just, like, really intrigues me. You know, imagine looking at this from an outside perspective, like, not even just, like, as an ARMY, like, a non-solo, but just, like, as a non-K-pop fan in general, and you look through these tags by, like, for example, Hybe respects so-and-so member, and it's, like, just the same tweet over and over again. Different accounts. Like, we are never beating the bot accusations, guys.
We really are not. Are you not embarrassed seeing how accounts just promote solo behavior? And because it's always so obvious to me, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, it's so obvious, because maybe for some people it's not, especially if they're new and they haven't been able to discern between what is, you know, ARMY concerns versus just like solo stan starting drama. Not everyone's able to discern that. But for me, it's just really annoying when like I can just tell right away that this is some absolute BS and people just go with it. It's like, why are you allowing yourself to be manipulated so easily?
Agreed.
And I just hit my knee on the desk, if you heard that.
Oh my god. Oh, that's the worst. It's either like when you hit your knee or like your elbow, it always like gives me the worst reaction. Ah, my body just like shuts down immediately. But yeah, there's that submission. So now we're going to go into, this is actually the last submission for the category. So This submission says, there's too much tolerance for shippers, in my opinion. I don't mean artists or writers who create fictional stuff. I mean everyone who says, based on my observations, I think XY is real, or it's just my belief that XY is real. Not only those who bully other members, etc., deserve confirmation slash being called out, but also those I mentioned earlier. It's very rude to talk about BTS like that, and they are not ARMY to me. Plus, so many people assume their sexuality to the point that random TikTok users believe things like Yoongi is pan, even though he never said that, but it is treated like a normal fact, and this is from Germany. Like, it's like one thing with like all this heteronormativity, but when people just straight up put like sexualities that BTS have never confirmed on them, that's also like weird. It's like different from just like innocent speculation of, oh, I wonder if this member is, you know, this sexuality or whatever. It's more of just like people saying that they are that thing, and it's like, but when did they say that? Like, I remember there was like a point in time where I think that it was, oh yes, it was because of those ARMY membership like photo shoots that BTS had. What was it, like ARMY Zip or something? Mm-hmm. And Jimin had, it was like that photo shoot he had where he was in like the t-shirt and jeans, and then he had like all those like tattoos on his body, like the temporary ones.
Oh yeah.
And then there was one there was one tattoo he had on his body that it was like the male and female like gender symbols, but they were like linked together. And so people took that as him, like there were some people who took that as him like basically like subtly coming out as like non-binary, and they started like using they them pronouns with Jimin, and I was like,
it made no sense
because like first of all he didn't confirm that, and second of all, even if he was non-binary, like expecting everyone to use they them pronouns with him doesn't work, because apparently because K-ARMYs ended up seeing this argument and they explained that like linguistically it's not possible for him to identify with that pronoun because it like you don't have that type of pronoun in Korean. So like even if he did see himself as non-binary, there's no way for him to refer to himself as they them in the Korean language, so it just made no sense also, that people were enforcing that pronoun on him.
Also, I need to say, by just automatically assuming if someone's non-binary that means that they would go by they them, you're basically just changed the gender binary to a gender triad. Like, just automatically assuming that non-binary people use they-them pronouns is just treating they-them as if it's, like, a third gender, which completely
misses the point of being non-binary
and not being confined to a gender, like, either side of the gender spectrum.
Right, and you know they've even done that like in terms of like is like a lot of times it is Jimin because of the fact that you know he can be androgynous at times, and you know like people have taken things like for example like that tattoo or the filter performance slash lyrics as like subtle hints that he is non-binary, and like listen. Like, again, like I say, speculation, innocent speculation is different from confirmation. So it's one thing to maybe speculate that, or maybe you can write him that way in fiction, like, for example, like a fan fiction or something, because at the end of the day, as long as you understand that, like, that's not reality, I think that that type of thing is fine. But when you're out here just straight up telling people that he's non-binary when he has never said that, or just anything about any member's sexualities or their relationships with other people, what are you doing?
Exactly. And just, people need to just understand that there is a line that can be crossed. And I don't know, I get the feeling that a lot of people who automatically assumed that Jimin was non-binary and should refer to him as they, them, like, I feel like that wasn't even coming from queer ARMYs. It just felt
I don't even think it was.
I really don't think it was. It was just people that wanted to just, like, jump in on it, for clout and to also make them seem like they're morally superior because, oh, I respect Jimin's identity and you don't.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a whole nother topic that could maybe even be explored another time about how that type of allyship is incredibly harmful, where people think that they're allies by like overstepping their boundaries and assuming things about other people when in reality it's just so detrimental to the community, but they don't really see that. Like those people who will claim that like they're an ally of the LGBTQ community, but then their so-called allyship is just labeling people as like non-binary through like completely like unrelated things and behaviors. So there's that.
Exactly. And you know what? With that, I think this is a good segue into our last category.
Yes, our last category for Army Anonymous this week is LGBTQ plus issues and cultural sensitivity. We've only got like a few submissions here, so we're probably gonna get through this pretty quickly. But anyway, the first submission says, "So many people are showing their true colors regarding Namjoon's quote unquote friend. People claiming that there is no way that Namjoon isn't straight, that we are being weird for seeing this close relationship as potentially his partner. I never saw the type of backlash whenever people made wife and kids jokes. Not to use whataboutism, but I don't think it's unfair for people to be attacking others over this, especially since, just like the wife and kids thing, most of these are jokes. I think people are too fixated on seeing Namjoon as quote unquote the perfect boyfriend and the token straight men of the group to think that maybe that isn't entirely what he is. We should let the boys experience relationships in whatever way they want, and we are only spectators. Sorry this was long. Love you guys. Keep up the great work." And this is from the USA. First of all, thank you so much.
Love
We appreciate that.
you.
Yes, we love you too. And in terms of like the submission, it's true. Like we were just talking about,
This
there
yesterday, right?
were, yeah, it, I, yeah, it was yesterday where, you know, there are a lot of people who were really just like, it really was just like surface level jokes, but like there was such like a visceral backlash compared to that. And I feel like the discourse like escalated way more than it did for like the Namjoon with wife and kids jokes, because there's like that joke so often. I see that joke so often, but never do I see any armies get any backlash compared to an army joking about or even innocently speculating that Namjoon may have a boyfriend that we just don't know about. And so that definitely tells you about the double standards that people have towards the LGBTQ plus community. And I think that, you know, it's a conversation that needs to be had, but a lot of people truly are not ready for.
Exactly. Especially because a lot of people like to compare situations that are completely different contextually in order to make it seem like, I don't know, like just to make it seem like armies are, I don't know, because that tweet, I'm thinking about that tweet from yesterday. And it was like talking about how people are weird for accepting the whole Namjoon has a boyfriend joke, but people were upset about people joking about like Namjoon and like Megan Thee Stallion and stuff. But that tweet didn't really make sense to me because the reason the thing with Namjoon and Meg was getting backlash is because people were taking like weird screenshots and like framing Namjoon as being like creepy and like predatory. And that's the issue that people had with the Namjoon and Meg jokes, making it seem like he is like always like staring at her body and just like being creepy. While when people are like, oh, Namjoon has a boyfriend, they're just talking about like cute pictures that he posts on Instagram, and like that's it.
Right, it I've never truly seen it go into like sexual territory the way that I saw those quote unquote jokes about Namjoon and Megan Thee Stallion did, because like I would just see them and it's like, how do you guys not see the problem with these types of jokes? Like, how do you guys think that it's funny? Because first of all, you guys know that Megan is active on Twitter, and if she saw that and she believed it, then that could make her really uncomfortable, because it's clear that she is a fan of BTS. BTS are a fan of her and they enjoyed working together, and it would be weird to make their relationship relationship awkward like that by making it seem like BTS is being predatory towards her, which is, you know, something that Black women really have to deal with a lot within the industry. And I don't think it's fair to contribute to that under the guise of it being a joke. And second of all, you know, Namjoon has already gotten false rumors from aunties about him fetishizing Black women, so that type of joke does not help, and there are people who will definitely run with that and take it at face value, even though, you know, the original people know that it may be out of context, but aunties won't see that.
Exactly. So, like, the context of those situations are just, like, so different. Like, no one had a problem if people were, like, jokingly shipping Namjoon and Megan and, like, being cute about it. The problem is people weren't being cute about it. And so it got backlash. Like, the contexts are completely different. And I think people were just being a little bit obtuse just to, like, somehow make it seem as if ARMY's just like a blanket statement that ARMY just fetishize LGBT relationships, but I don't think there's anything fetishizing about joking that Namjoon has a boyfriend, because it just stops there. Like, they're just posting cute pictures on Instagram and whatnot. Like, if you replace Namjoon has a boyfriend with Namjoon has a girlfriend, if he posted a female friend and, like, cut out her face, put a sticker on it or something. I mean, the responses would be different. I feel like if there were a woman, people might have a little bit more visceral reactions and be more desperate to figure out who it is. But I think the assumption that people joking about Namjoon boyfriend are fetishizers is a bad argument. It's a bad argument.
Yeah, it's a bad argument, and a lot of the comparisons just really do not hold up. So when it comes to that, I definitely do agree with this person. Like, there are so many people who really, like, you know, really treat, like, you know, the idea of Namjoon having a boyfriend over a girlfriend in, like, just, like, two completely different ways. So, yeah. And the next submission, which is, like, incredibly amusing how I organized this, because it was not planned for me to do this, but they just happened to be within the same category. But the next submission says, June's secret boyfriend joke, in brackets, it's really not funny, and solos. And then this is from Bahrain. In some instances, to be devil's advocate here, like I was talking about before, there are people who do take, you know, there's a handful of people who do take the Namjoon's boyfriend thing too far, because, you know, it's like less about like his like secret boyfriend specifically, but more of the fact that like whenever BTS hang out with people, there's always going to be like that weird bunch of people who will like try and find out who that person is. And I think that there's definitely people who will just take it too far and then just escalate the situation where it doesn't need to be. So when that in that case, it's not funny, but when it's just like simple surface level jokes, I feel like that's pretty normal.
Yeah, like I don't find anything wrong with people going, LOL, Namjoon totally has a secret boyfriend. Like, it's not that deep.
It's the same way that we joke about the BTS poly agenda. Even though, like, honestly, even if they told me it was true, I would still believe it.
Like, the way, exactly, like, people joke all the time about how, like, BTS are just in one polyamorous relationship, yet somehow saying, LOL, Namjoon's secret boyfriend is a problem.
Right, like, Taeyang is literally, like, giving marriage proposals to Yoongi, like, every 3 to 5 business days, and people find that funny, because, like, obviously, like, we're not going too deep into it, but, you know, for something like, you know, this whole Namjoon's boyfriend thing, it's just, like, really weird, especially because, like, if it so happens that, like, anyone in BTS identifies within the LGBTQ+ community, it is 100% likely that they could be dating somebody outside the group, and we just don't know about it yet because they're not in the group. Even if they were dating in the group, we probably wouldn't figure it out either, because BTS just do too much stuff to each other to the point where even if they kissed on camera, like, I would just treat that as another Tuesday.
I would just be like, that checks out. Moving on.
Yeah. It's like, that's not suspicious.
But yeah, that I think we can summarize that submission. So the next one says, I believe that some armies can't engage in thoughtful and forwarding progressive conversation about cultural appropriation / appreciation within K-pop is because people don't realize Twitter is not the space for that type of discussion. And also some non-white armies can't fathom the idea of cultural exchange and not gatekeeping. From the USA.
Yeah, in terms of this, I definitely feel like conversations about cultural appropriation / appreciation within K-pop are just... These types of conversations are never built for Twitter. It is just not possible to have a proper conversation about it without it getting overrun by people who are just missing the point or want to twist words. And so, yeah, I mean, that's, again, that's why we have the podcast. I mean, the fact that we even have a two-parter about cultural appropriation here, if you guys don't know, that's like episode 12. If you want to check it out, please do. And you know, to the second part of their submission where they talk about how non-white armies can't fathom the idea of cultural exchange and not gatekeeping. I don't know, like, which demographic they're talking about or whether they just mean, like, every non-white person. But in terms of, like, cultural exchange and gatekeeping, if anything, I feel like, in terms of, like, not knowing the difference, I would feel like it's the opposite, no? For, like, there are a lot of, like, white people who try and pretend like they're allies and they're just calling out cultural appropriation willy-nilly, but then you have people coming from that culture saying, actually, no, this is not what it is. And, you know, a lot of times those people just, like, overstep their boundaries. Personally, for me, that's been my experience. I don't know about this person's experience, so I can't really speak to that, but in my personal experience, what I have seen is that you will have white people who are saying, or just like people who are not a part of that specific culture, where they will be like, oh my gosh, this person culturally appropriated, but then the people from that culture are like, what are you talking about? Like, a good instance of this I can think of, I even feel like we talked about it on this podcast before, but that whole incident with like Hwasa, where she was basically, for all who don't know, there's this girl Hwasa from Mamamoo, and she was wearing like this type of like outfit that was based off of like her look that she has when she walks into like the broadcasting stations, where she's basically like rolling straight up out of bed, out of the shower. And so like she'll have like her her hair wrapped up in a towel as she's walking into the broadcast station. And so like she was on this show and they basically gave her an upgraded version of that outfit, like for jokes. And so, like, it was, like, this long flowy dress, and then, like, she had this, like, little head wrap thing, like, on the top of her head. And so many people said, oh my gosh, she's appropriating Nigerian attire. And me as a Nigerian, I was sitting there and I was looking at her outfit and I said, in what world is this Nigerian attire? And I had to explain to people, like, they were saying that, for example, like, that the dress that she was wearing was a kaftan, and because of that, that it was appropriation. When, first of all, kaftans are an outfit for men, not women, so I don't know why on earth she would be wearing one, or why on earth, like, any of the producers would not see that if they were to even order one online or get it from, like, a tailor. Because, like, for example, if you went to a tailor who specialized in, like, African wear, and you said to them, like, yes, we want a kaftan for this girl right here, they'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? This isn't for women. And then second of all, like, the material was just not the same material that is used in traditional kaftans. So, it, like, that whole argument just didn't hold up anyway, because it's not the same material. And, you know, another thing is that, you know, the head wrap that she was wearing, they said that it was gele, which is like a specific type of like headwear that is worn in Nigeria. And it wasn't. Like, if you look at a picture of gele and you look at a picture of what Hwasa was wearing, it was completely different. Like, it was not a head wrap that is, you know, traditionally worn in Nigeria at all.
I think people just randomly picked a random African country, because what happened is someone had like posted like a video of her in that like spruced up outfit, and someone had created a completely like false translation of what was happening. They said that Hwasa dressed up in African attire to scare people. It didn't make any sense, because none of that was like in the video, like that was in the context, like they really just pulled that out of their ass, like 100%. But people ran with it, like people believed it. And then when people started asking questions, like Wait a second. Like, you're saying she's wearing African attire, but like,
What
Africa's a
country?
jazz continent. What country? Like, what? Even in like, even just like, if you're just take like Nigeria, like there's subcultures within that. So it's like, what culture is she exactly appropriating? And so people just like randomly like threw a dart onto the African continent and said, "Oh, Nigeria."
That's literally how it was, because if you ask these people what country they're talking about when they say Africa, or even if they give you a country, if you ask them what tribe from Nigeria they're talking about, they can't give you a proper answer, because to the defense of some Nigerians though, because the Hausa tribe, which is a tribe more up north in Nigeria, they have kaftans that are kind of similar to what Hwasa was wearing, but again, the material was not the same. And on top of that, like, these people who were claiming cultural appropriation were not saying the Hausa tribe when they were talking about what tribe is she appropriating from. They were, when they say Nigeria, a lot of times most people mean like either the Igbo tribe or the Yoruba tribe. And when it comes to the traditional wear that we have in those tribes, the kaftans do not look like that. They do not have the material. And again, they are traditionally worn by men, not women. So the argument just never held up. And people just look so stupid trying to fight for us Nigerians. Meanwhile, the Nigerians were like, why are you fighting?
I also saw it was this stupid tweet. So it was when Hwasa had released her solo song Maria. I saw a few tweets. They got ratioed, deserved. But I saw a few tweets saying by calling her title track Maria, she was appropriating Hispanic culture.
Excuse me?
And everyone was like, "Dumbass, that's her name. Like her baptismal name." Because she's Catholic, is Maria. Like, she has a tattoo on the back of her neck. Like, that's her name.
That's
And
crazy.
as we know, Spain colonized, like, half the world. So, at least, like, the Americas. So, a lot of, Spanish-speaking names and Spanish-speaking countries are also Catholic. So like that's how those connections happen. So like I don't know, just like the thought of like her baptismal name being Maria, and then like her writing a song using that name is like cultural appropriation. Like it was just so funny to me.
Honestly, like the things that colonization have done to us, like if that was the case, like going by that logic, I must be appropriating like some type of like Anglo-centric country or culture because my middle name is Angela or whatever. Like
Angela.
I don't understand how people like if I told this to somebody who was not on Twitter, they would think that we're so unhinged.
They
So
really
it's like
would.
I really need people to continue doing this exercise where like they read like tweets or discourse out
Out loud.
loud and think to themselves, if I said this to somebody else, would they or would they not call somebody to put me in a psych ward?
Exactly. Poor Daisy. I remember you were like messaging your like family members and being like, "I'm not crazy, right? Like this isn't my dream." Like
Right,
poor you.
I was literally DMing my cousins that day when the whole Hwasa thing blew up because I'm like, there's no way that this makes sense. And I didn't want to just go for my opinion because obviously, your girl's part of the diaspora. I lived in America for a long time, so I was like, I don't know, maybe I have something wrong. So I was quite literally just like spending the night just like DMing my cousins and I'm like, does this look like cultural appropriation to you? And they're like, no, what are you talking about? And I was like, so I was right.
Oh gosh, that was really a whole mess, wasn't it? So, back to like the submission. Like I don't know exactly what context or example they're referring to because, like Daisy said, I usually only see, like white K-pop stans try to weaponize a situation to like earn morality points and like make themselves look higher than. Especially like just because it's at the top of my head, the same thing also happened with Mamamoo with their Aya comeback. That people were also like, people had said that they like I think that they had used like the Adnan from like Muslim prayer, and all of my Muslim friends I asked said no, that's not true.
That is crazy.
And so like everyone kept trying to like frame that comeback as like problematic and whatnot, and like it's just like it just really brought down the vibes.
Yeah, but like, yeah, in terms of like cultural exchange and, not gatekeeping, like, there is a lot of cultural appreciation that I do see in some, in some cases. Like, for example, like the whole idol music video that BTS did. I've even made a thread on this on my own personal account, talking about, the ways that BTS have appreciated African culture in that music video. And how there are a lot of people who may not know the difference between cultural appropriation and appreciation, and so that leads them to overstep boundaries. But honestly, I feel like if you're not from that culture, you definitely do need to take a step back and just let people from that culture decide what it is. And honestly, if you see that there's like split decisions between the people from that culture, you still need to stay out of it, and you can't take sides because it's that discussion that those people need to have amongst themselves. Because a lot of times you will see that, like, for example, when, something comes out and like the culture that it comes from, people who are from that culture are trying to decide whether it's appropriation or appreciation. You'll see people who are not a part of that culture try and like take sides and, try and use certain people's tweets as evidence or whatever. But like going out of your way to like take sides is still speaking over a part of that community, and that's not something that is should be normalized, honestly. So I definitely feel like there needs to be better conversation, on Twitter about that. Even though Twitter's not ideal, you still need to have ideal conversations, I feel, to some extent. And, not gatekeeping certain things, I definitely feel, is something that is like a conversation that needs to be had, because there's even like some type of, tension between, for example, like African black people and like African American black people, where they try and decide sometimes whether something is cultural appropriation or appreciation. And there are times where I feel like definitely in terms of that, there are Africans who may not understand the concepts a lot because of the fact that they've grown up in their own home country, like in their own home country, so they've never had to deal with people who are taking their culture and using it for profit, like in their own home country. They've never really had to deal with that. And so there are a lot of times where, there are African people who think that like African Americans are like over exaggerating when they talk about cultural appropriation, when it's true. There are people who take our culture and they use it for profit, or they use it to mimic us. And, that's a huge problem that I feel there's just so much nuance in this conversation that I feel I don't even know can be fully explored on Twitter. Probably not.
Definitely not. You lost it at the word nuance, like.
Honestly, so when it comes to all this, yeah, like bottom line, regardless of who is doing the gatekeeping or who is doing the deciding between cultural appropriation and appreciation, there just needs to be better conversation to be had, and I feel like that's something that we can all agree on. So now that that submission is out of the way, we're gonna go to our very last submission of Army Anonymous episode 11, and it is this one. And they say, "I hate that people call J-Hope's hairstyle with a fake twist corny." And this is from the USA. I don't know if this person is African American or they're just from the USA, but for again those people who don't know, when Chicken Noodle Soup came out, that track that J-Hope did with Becky G. There was a point in the music video where he had this hairstyle where it was like he took like he I guess he gelled up his hair and then like twisted it. And there was like a huge like discussion between like people within the black community about whether it was appropriation or appreciation, because while at the same time it's not necessarily like an authentic black hairstyle. And, there are people who have done like things like that to their hair and they weren't necessarily like appropriating. There was that other side of the discussion where people were saying, even though it's not necessarily an official black hairstyle, it is kind of interesting that that hairstyle would only come out when he's doing something like hip hop, which shows that, there may be like a bit of like a conceptual theme with that hairstyle. So I understand both sides of the argument, and personally, I kind of stayed out of it because I wasn't really interested in taking part in that discourse. Because I didn't really feel like I had anything I could contribute that was useful, but in terms of people who just like straight up like are extremist on one side or the other, I do find that corny. Whether or not I find J-Hope's hairstyle itself corny, I really have no opinions on that hairstyle. I don't find it bad, like good or bad. Like I just think, when I watch the music video, oh, it's the hairstyle. Like I don't really think too much about it. But that doesn't mean that you can't think too much about it. If you want to, have that conversation, I think it's cool. But personally, I didn't really think it was that corny.
Daisy said, you can have that conversation, but not with me.
Because honestly, like, it's not necessarily something that I find like so massive that it needs its like that I need to have that discourse on it. Like, I feel like if other people want to talk about it, that's fine, but I am personally just not going to participate in that discourse. So you guys can talk about it if you would like to. Just not me, though. I'm cool. I'm fine.
And that wraps up this Army Anonymous. We made it. Thank you everyone for once again being so patient because this Army Anonymous did come out a little bit later than previous installments. If you didn't get to submit this time, don't worry because when this episode comes out, the Army Anonymous inbox is currently already open. So you can either just search our Twitter or go on our Twitter page and click the Linktree link in our bio. And if you scroll to the bottom, there will be a link that says Army Anonymous that takes you right to the submission box. Or you can also access the Army Anonymous submission box from our website. And our website is talkwarmypodcast.com. So go ahead and get the submissions in if you didn't get it this time.
All right, and with that, we will see you guys in the next episode. Hope you guys enjoyed this, and bye for now.
Bye.